Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week with you. And so the time has been flying by this year. And so many of you will be listening to this on archive at a later date. And the information we're going to have today just fits in any time of the year, any time with business. And it's a pleasure today. We're going to spend a lot of time on SEO marketing and the web and kind of what's going on these days. For many of you agents and brokers, of course, some people are new. Some people have been in the business for years. For the old-timers, this internet marketing has definitely changed. We started getting into it in the 90s, and it's just night and day from where it was then. And for the general audience, I don't know, we even find grandmothers and great-grandmothers getting on the internet and grandfathers, and just so many things are going on and so many things are changing like the speed of lightning. And so if you're in a business, have a website, you're working on so much already, trying to handle social media as well is just very inundating, at least I think so. Dr. Rissy's writing and marketing has all of that figured out, lead generation, SEO, and how to not get lost in the expansive World Wide Web. And believe it or not, we feel like a lot of us are in the World Wide West because it seems like anything goes, there's fighting, there's firing, it's just a whole new territory that's happening. But what you say and how you say it still does make a difference, especially in presentation and marketing and copywriting, and it goes on and on and on and on. And Marissa Swartz is with us today, ranked top two in social media as a social media expert in New York, content strategy, and so much more. And I'm going to let her dig in and fill us in because she's the expert. And I think you'll be blown away after we talk today. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Marissa Swartz. How are you?
Oh, wonderful, Natalie. Thank you so much for that awesome introduction. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh, my pleasure. So, yeah, I mean, the new world of SEO and online marketing, it's unbelievable how quickly everything changed and how everybody was just kind of expected to go with the change. And if you didn't, you know, unfortunately, your ranking suffered, and that meant that sometimes you would lose out on clients. And I realized this. I grew up with my parents. They owned a mom-and-pop carpet shop. They've owned it since longer than I've been alive. And I saw the change from being, you know, everybody was advertising in newspapers and just word of mouth to, you know, they needed to learn how to rank on Google really quickly. They needed to have their strategic keywords to rank and all these things. And that was kind of my first introduction into, oh, wow, this is a thing. So I kind of saw it when it was first, you know, in the 2000s when we saw, oh, okay, so if we rank for, you know, linoleum flooring, people are going to find it locally. If they're searching for it, they're going to, you know, find it and go
right
to the store like that thing. So I kind of had the it was a good thing that I had that experience. But then going into my professional career, you know, I went got my a master's in communication, my doctorate in literature, and I took a number of courses to learn even more about how this works and how to rank people, how to build up their social media. And there's so much to it. And a lot of people just, you know, unfortunately, there's not enough time to learn to do your own business and have all this other stuff for a lot of people. So that's what I've been devoting my company to doing, Dr. Rissy's Writing and Marketing, to helping small businesses and some larger ones too, with their rankings, with their online social media presence, with their ads. And
Yeah, it's a changing world. Yeah, with your expertise and your doctorate, all that, my gosh, you've got it, and you've got years and years of experience too, to be able to change it. Because we got in like '98, I guess, was our first site, and you know, pre-Google, and it was really easy. But it was easy to get out there to the world. But the world wasn't there yet. You know, there were many, many people were not on, and being in real estate, many buyers and sellers were not in the Internet, on the Internet in 1998 like they are today. And the whole world is on the Internet. So then with Google, we had the Google AdSense, and you could email and you could do rankings with keywords and content. And they didn't have what they call duplicate content now, where you get penalized, right, if you have duplicate content.
Yeah.
So it is just... it's mind-boggling, and all of a sudden where you've seen, you know, the SEO really high, like you said, all of a sudden it can go down to nothing. And, then Google's in their own business as well to make money, right? And they've restructured their ads and their algorithms. And so it's like the wild, wild west. So where do they start? What do they do? Because now even people that stuff, what you've built before may not work today without revamping everything. So
yeah,
it's interesting.
It really is, and that is something that, you know, Google, Facebook, all these different platforms, they have so much control over our lives and our livelihoods because they can change at the drop of a dime. Like, Instagram just changed their algorithm a couple months ago, and so many people just
saw
their engagement. Yeah, they just saw their engagement plummet because they changed the way that people see who's ranked. So, really, the best way that I've seen people stay up, you know, remain competitive is A, to stay up to date, to keep in touch with the new trends, to know when they're changing their algorithms. But also, you know, once you do get ranked highly for a certain keyword, even if they do change things, it's going to take a while before you start to see your ranking fall down. And then if you, you know, remain in times with the algorithms, you're more than likely to remain high. So an example is I worked with a client who wanted to be on page one for like five different keywords. So we did that. We, through doing blogs, we would write blogs for him three times a week. We would do guest blogs, meaning that we would get him featured on other websites with high domain authority rankings, backlinks.
Right.
But you know, only the right methods, none of those like black hat methods that some people use. So real guest links, guest blog post backlinks. And we got him ranked highly for all his keywords. And then Google changed their algorithm. And
you're
instead
kidding.
Of him faltering, you know, we kept him up to date. So he
right.
remained at the top. And a lot of his competition fell because they didn't keep up to date and they weren't doing everything that he was to update. So really working hard to get ranked and then just keeping up with Google's algorithm. And, you know, keeping active. So keeping active on social media, keeping active on your blog and on other websites, that's really the key.
Would you believe years ago we were able to pay, it was like 300 and 300 in Hawaii, 300 in Maryland, to be like top for sale by owner? I mean, it was
wow.
just amazing. Then it went up to maybe 1,000, 1,500, and forget it now. I mean, if you're going to do the AdWords, and it's just, but it was where you could pay the companies, and they got it up there without having to go through the Google AdSense. It's just, it's so different. Tell our audience what the difference is between organic marketing and paid marketing.
Yeah, so first of all, what you're saying, you can still get ranked without doing ads because the ads are very expensive, and I've seen a lot of people turning away from ads for a while. I was pretty anti-ad. I had to go over to the dark side and help people with their ads, but for a while, you know, I was just focusing on organic. So if you have a nice mix of organic and paid ads, that's great. So with organic, you're doing what I was saying, where you're updating your blog regularly, you're getting backlinks on guest a guest host on other websites, and just kind of remaining active. And you should do that even if you are doing paid ads, because your audience is going to like to see that you're active and updating regularly. They're going to want to
read,
oh, what this person has to say. You know, they want to see that you're active, and it helps keep you in their mind. You know, it's the opposite of out of sight, out of mind. You're going to be in their sight and in their mind. But it's also good to have an ad strategy, so that's where paid comes in, where, you know, let's say you have a set budget every week. It doesn't have to be an astronomical amount, just so that, you know, you will be in your target niches. They'll be seeing you if they're searching. So you can get very detailed about who you want to target and have your ad only seen by them. So then once they go to your website and they see, wow, look at, they're updating their social media and their blogs so regularly, you're reaping both the benefits of that paid person and the organic reach that...
Because people like to be updated, right? They want to constantly have new, fresh content, new updated, et cetera. Well, what happens... Okay, so somebody's local in one town, then they're going to target market that area, right, I would think. But if they're national... then that's going to just cost a lot more money because they're going to have to go into many areas, or is it?
Not necessarily. Because, yeah, being local does help in some ways, but then you also have to have somebody motivated enough to actually, but it's not just clicking a button. They have to actually go to your store, to your event, to whoever you're promoting. They actually have to leave the house, which can be a little difficult. It's one thing to click a button and buy something, but it's another to get somebody to go somewhere.
Right, exactly.
So
right.
When you're doing national, you can target by a lot of different things. So, for example, my company, we serve people nationally. So we're going after some niche keywords like, you know, PPC for small businesses. It's going to be a very particular person who's typing those keywords in. So we're trying to rank for that keyword because chances are if they're searching for that, they're going to be interested in what we're doing. And we do the same thing for our clients. There's, you know, maybe a very specific term that only a client would be interested in searching. So
right.
You can cater it to them.
That sounds great. Well, what's going on with Google, with the search, with the changes? I mean, what happened? It was because with Google AdSense and the algorithms and people being paid, and then all of a sudden, because I've noticed myself, I'm still a Google search engine person, so to speak, you know, because we have the choices of several different search engines, right? And when I want to look something up, I still tend to go to Google. But what I've noticed is it used to be very much more specific, and now sometimes you have to search through a lot to really find what you want, or you may be getting businesses or numbers, and they're not connect, you know, they're disconnected, and then other people are trying to latch onto those. I mean, it goes on and on and on, right? It's like when I call it the Wild Wild West. I have to come up with a different name, right? But it's being an old timer, that's what I think. But it's it's so inundated. That's why with what you do, you make it so much easier for somebody. But what are they doing? I mean, with that, with all these changes, and is it just they're finding better ways for them to make money? I'm sure, right? They have to make a profit, but it's not. It's all over the place.
These platforms, social media platforms, Facebook, LinkedIn, they're all becoming very pay-to-play. If you want somebody to see your content, you need to pay. And Google absolutely has that going on with their AdSense. But I think they also are trying to improve things. So, for example, with that duplicate content, that is more or less to protect people from spam. Because what was happening before was if somebody, you know how you paid somebody to just rank you on page one, like right away, it was very simple because all they were doing was taking the same blog and posting it in like 100 places, and that just spams up.
Oh, gotcha.
So Google changed that to kind of get rid of that spam. So, yes, some of them are for money, but some of them are actually pretty noble and trying to help make the quality of the internet a little bit better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's so many more people on now, I guess it's just becoming, it's blown up, right, where they're going to have to, that's good.
Absolutely.
And what about, like, companies like ours that has been around for years, you know, we have a lot of testimonials, and they're real true testimonials that people gave us, hundreds of testimonials, and they're on our website. What do you do about that when you know, do you just switch to where it's online reviews, or you can't go back and, I mean, I can't imagine going back to all those past clients and customers and saying, please give us an online review. What's being done with that nowadays?
Yeah, what I've done is, like, just put them on the website to have a testimonial section on the website and just, you know, paste those reviews there, and then ask any future clients to make sure that they review you on Google or on Facebook, and get those
okay.
reviews there. Yeah.
Now, we had a situation in Hawaii that one of our offices, and we didn't know it until a client told us that our office was shown as closed, but we never put it in as closed. So can a competitor go in and do that to you?
No, it should only be where actually, Google's pretty good about this. They send you a postcard, you have to verify it's you, so a competitor shouldn't be able to do that, but
they did it to us. Somebody did it, though. I'm sorry.
Well, they've done some pretty funky things, so here's another personal family example. My parents' carpet store is called Carpet Maven, and one of their competitors put one of their keywords in as Carpet Maven, so that when somebody searched Carpet Maven, they would find them in addition to
right.
my parents. And it's just, I think that's awful. That's crazy. That's stealing clients. So, you know, I don't know any cases of somebody putting clothes, but I wouldn't be surprised because they do things like that, and it's
But because once when a client told us and then we were able to get it fixed, it took several weeks to get it fixed, but we wouldn't have known because we're so slammed, swamped that we're not looking at all this stuff everywhere, you know, so it's just an interesting, it's difficult. I mean, I think it might be easier when you start brand new than if you've already been existing and you're in different areas, but I mean, it's all workable and thank God for repeat clients, right? Because if you didn't have repeat clients, that would be a little difficult in the real estate world. Yeah, I love what you're doing, and what you're, you know, with your background and you what you say and how you do it. Your copywriting must be spectacular, in tying in. So your copywriting, what they should say, but in addition, putting it in a way that it works with the SEOs, lead generation, right? Search engines. That's
well,
fantastic.
Started out as a copywriter, so I started my journey. I was a high school student, and my friends were getting jobs at the mall. And they really weren't happy with those jobs. And I was always on my computer anyway. And I would do creative things. Like, you know, I wrote a book and I would do video contests and things. So I thought, let me see if I can maybe get a job online. So my first job was editing a children's horror book. And then from there I started copywriting. And then by the time I got to college, I had a pretty nice amount of clients. And a lot of them would say, you know, I love your writing, but I really wish that I could use on my website to be, you know, SEO friendly. And I didn't know what SEO really was at that point. I was a little college kid. And I did my research, and then I started taking the classes on it for that reason, and I learned everything that there was to know about. So, yeah, that's why, you know, it's one
wow.
thing to be a good writer, but it's another thing to know how to optimize that content. So, that was what got me into it, was really people asking me, you know, I love your writing, can you optimize it? So I had to learn pretty quickly how to do that.
That's fantastic. So you wrote a book, what was it? When you were young, that's young.
Yeah, when I was in high school, it was called A Career in Contest, because my favorite hobby as a child and teen was entering contests, everything from contests to singing, to pageants, to dance competitions, and then I broke a world record
for
making the world's longest chain of bracelets.
For making what? Making what?
The world's longest chain of bracelets.
Really? How
yeah,
long? Wow. Congratulations.
It was 100 bracelets. Thank you. It was the same week that I released the book, so it was kind of to promote the book that I broke the record. So that was like my first introduction into, I don't know, doing creative work and having that be your profession.
Well, doing what you love.
Exactly.
I can't get better than that. Wow. So, I love it. That's so, congratulations. The duplicate content. So I can take us, you know, a lot of the agents and brokers are going to be, many of the brokers in the membership programs offer menu programs, and then we all network together. So even though most are licensed in one state, two state, could be three, four, five, they'll do their business in their state respectively, but then still do referrals and send them to other affiliate members in other states. So what can happen is you end up with duplicate content because you may have, like, say, I'll give our example, a Realty Universal site. Then we have other domains and other subsites that could be like sellers and agents, buyers and agents, you know, things like so. And then they tie back, like a lot of this tie back to some of the other sites, and then they run. So years ago, when you could link your sites back and forth, it was a good thing. And they would recommend years ago, don't have all your domain names on the same server, because then they're going to think you're just doing that yourself, right? And then, but then it's like, wait a minute, you would want to do some of it yourself because of how you're linking back with your paid, you know, when they sign up and they pay, or where you're tracking everything. It, and I know I'm sounding confusing, but not confusing, because I've been through it from day one. And so it's kind of seems to me unfair when they may call something duplicate content when really it's what you got, what you do, what you're really doing for a living, and you're doing it in different areas, and then you have affiliates. So with all that said, am I incorrect, or is that not really a duplicate content, or how do you get around that? Because you really are the real deal. We are the real deal. We're not trying to put something out there that we're not supposed to.
You, is it 300 words or more, like, is it long content that is being duplicated, quote-unquote duplicated?
Okay.
No, so if it's like
Oh, you're asking me
words,
if it's 300 words or what?
Is it, yeah, do you know about how long the content is? Is it like 300 words or? Usually they base it on the word count. So if it's like 300 words or more, yeah, that's when they're going to flag it for duplicate content, in which case you would have to spin it. So basically you're rewording everything so that's original, even though it's kind of saying the same thing. If it's under 300 words, you probably don't have to worry as much.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what would a typical blog be, word count?
A typical blog, okay, so this is where there's some controversy. Controversy because of the algorithm changes. So years ago, you could write 300 words and you were set. Then it became 500 words and you were set. Then it was, oh, it's only long-form content because they want to see that you're really putting a lot of care into it. So people were doing blogs up to 2,500 words. The thing is, when you do a blog that often, people aren't going to be reading it all the time unless it's super spectacular and novel. It wasn't happening. So with the last algorithm change, we're back down to doing blogs between 500 and 1,000 words, and that's doing the job.
Okay.
So some people like to post 3 times a week with the blog. Some will post once a week. And they all, you know, those frequencies are what Google is more interested in.
Okay, so that 500 to 1,000 words is a good way to do the blog. And then so the duplicate content, when you put links in your blog or somebody refers your blog, puts it out there, say on LinkedIn or the other sites and say, hey, I love this. You've got to read this. This was excellent. That's not going to penalize you because that's getting you out to the world. It has nothing to do with duplicate content, right?
Yeah, that's, if it's a link like that, and also if it's short, if it's a social media post that's definitely under 300 words, that's fine. The thing with duplicate content is if you're taking, like, an article, even if the article is only, like, 300 words, and you're copying it word for word and putting it somewhere else, that's where they're going to flag you.
I don't understand why, though. I just don't get – I don't understand why they're – doing that.
Yeah, it's definitely a spam, trying to get rid of spam because of so many people, but everybody suffers then because the people who are doing nothing wrong, you know, then they're getting penalized.
Because a lot of people, you know, articles, somebody may say, hey, I love that, you know, and then, or you could post it on different websites and then they're going to consider it duplicate. So I guess people change it around a little bit, but it just doesn't make sense to me. Just like the news, you're going to news is going to be the same posted all over the place, right?
Yeah, well,
so
they want it to be reworded. So, like, you can repost it, just reword it, or post the link to the original article.
Okay, so that would be the way to do it. Post the link to the original article.
Yeah, you can definitely do that.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that makes more that's to solve the problem that I'm asking about then. That's perfect. So you could actually put like a little paragraph about it and then read, you know, here, da da da, or put a title, a tagline or something, and with a link. Oh, okay. Well, that's the way to do it then. Okay. And then you're probably thinking, well, of course, that's the way to do it. Well, I wouldn't have thought about that. I didn't realize that wouldn't penalize you. How do you get? Because I know you're up on everything. How do you get to make sure that you're really we're updated on these? I know with like our membership, we have to go through a lot of new things that are coming up to be able to put that out to our people, what's new, so they don't have to read through everything and anything to find out the new information that's going to benefit them. How do you find it out with this? Just, you have to sign up with all the Google and all the sites? And I mean, it's just because I know the news is pretty newsworthy, and lots of times you hear a lot of people in the industry and the generational say, uh-oh, you know, Google just changed their algorithm. Look out for this, right? Or this just happened. Usually a lot of big things make news, but not everything. So what do you recommend for that, to stay up to date?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much reading trade publications, but more than that. I mean, this is why my company and people like us exist, because we're keeping up on it. We know that professionals don't have enough time for it. It's kind of the same way that,
exactly,
you know, you hire a realtor rather than learning everything there is about selling houses if you're not a realtor. It's the same thing with this. Like, this is our specialty. This is what we do. We go to conventions.
Right.
We go to seminars. We go to classes. So a lot of people think that, oh, well, I could just learn everything that you guys do, but maybe you can, but do you have enough time? And, you know,
no.
Do you have the... So
no.
that's kind of... That's why... Yeah, that's why we are here and why we do this. So, yeah, you can keep up on, you know, the basic trends and things, but for the most part, this is why professionals like my company exist, because we know that you don't have the time and, you know, you have other things to be doing. You have your own business. And this is something that we do full-time. I work 60 hours a week. A lot of my team works 40 to 60 hours a week, because there are so many things to know and so many things to do and to update.
So how does everybody, let's tell us how everybody reaches you.
How does everybody reach me?
Mm-hmm. Do you want to, I mean, would you, which way you prefer?
Yeah, so my website is drrissieswritingandmarketing.com. My social media handles on Twitter are at Marissa Schwartz, and on Instagram, Marissa_Schwartz. I'm pretty much everywhere just as Marissa with an O, Schwartz.
Okay, love it. Everybody can also go to radio at Realty Universal or RealtyUniversal.com and then let us know and we'll put you in touch. But we get a lot of people that come through back that way. This is fantastic. So give us what do you want to tell us? Like, what would you say, you know, for somebody? I guess it makes a big difference if it's a small business, medium, national, what your game plan is. How do they start with you? Just contact you and fill out forms? Or I know, because I know you do so much with it.
Yeah. So, I mean, typically they would email me, mo@drrissie.com, which is right on the website, and just kind of say, hey, here's my website. Here's my business. I'm looking to, you know, increase my reach, or basically whatever your thing is. If you want more leads, whatever you're looking to do. And then we would schedule a call, a consultation to discuss kind of what the next steps are, how, you know, my team can help you.
Great. So do they write what they want, or do you ghostwrite it, or does it vary, or do they kind of give you a flavor of what they want? I mean,
yeah, the thing with my business, each client is different. There's no one size fits all. So while we do write, and while writing, you know, what I started with, that's my specialty, some clients, they want it to be in their own voice, so they write, and then we optimize and post it. Sometimes I'll interview the client, so it's basically co-written because it's their ideas, but we're writing it and optimizing it and posting it. So a lot of different options, a lot of different ways to collaborate.
That's fantastic. So, and then you do the lead generation. Is the lead generation basically because it's tied in with the SEO and what they're giving, or do they actually get into a CRM, or do you recommend CRMs, or I should say content management systems, not CRM really, but
yeah, no, that's fine. So absolutely, I recommend CRMs and content management, especially when you're doing paid and organic ads. It's the best way to organize your leads. I mean, let's say you have a Google ad up there, you know, and
okay,
you're getting people giving you their email addresses. It's going to become really taxing to personally email each of those if you're having like hundreds of emails coming through every day. So if you have a CRM, your life is made so much easier. So definitely CRMs are super helpful. Same thing with social media. You know, we like to use posting platforms, you know, rather than posting directly on Twitter or Instagram, we schedule the posts so that they're posted at the most optimal time so that people are actually going to see them.
That's fantastic. No, that really makes so much sense. You know, they call it, they talk about drip marketing, campaigning, you know, keeping in touch with the client, the algorithms now. I mean, we have so much out there these days that can actually figure out, well, who's watching this, or just like when we buy something online, then they're grabbing what we bought, and next thing you know, we're seeing ads for items that are like that and similar.
Yeah.
It's just gotten to be so, wow, it's so out there.
There's a lot of advanced things that marketers do to reach their target demographic. Sometimes it feels like they're, you know, reading your mind.
Right. It sounds like it, but they're not. Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So then I guess they do. So they do analytics and different training, I guess, because they're figuring out, like, even the best time of day or night and whatever to market for certain people. Right. I guess they figure.
Exactly. Yeah. So we can see everything. You know, we can target everything from your age, your gender, what you do for a living, where you live. Your interests. So let's say you like Good Housekeeping, the magazine. We can go, you know what? I think that people who like Good Housekeeping, they're going to be interested in the service, and we can target them. There are so many different just silly things that you wouldn't even think of that we can do to target, and that's why it feels like, you know, we're mind readers or something, you know.
Right.
Oh, my God. Are they listening in on my conversations? No, you just gave us quite a bit of information because you said that you like this movie and this book. And people who like that movie and that book tend to like this thing.
Wow. I love it. I love it. It's inundating, though, too, because you want to be able to, wow.
Yeah, there's a lot, and there are definitely analytics. So on my team, I have two people that their whole job is analytics because I'm a words person. I'm not a numbers person, but these two people go through our ads and they say, okay, well, on this ad, we got, 73% of people were women, and they clicked on it at 9 a.m., and, on this other ad, only 71% of people clicked through it. Like, they go through all this really technical stuff and optimize the post so that we can get the best results for the lowest price.
That is fantastic. So when you do that, is it like when you've got, like, Google Analytics or whatever, do people have to put that on their site so that they can see, you know, so you can see your statistics and see when, what, how it happened? Or is that something you do for them?
Yeah, it depends on how they're set up. Usually we do it for the client, especially if they're just starting out. But it does depend. Usually though, they either give us access to their website and we put it on there, or we just start
right.
them out with everything. That's how it works for them.
That's it. Is it Google Analytics one of the best, you think, or are there so many out there? I mean, I know you do your own, but I'm just asking for generalization questions.
We do use Google Analytics ourselves.
Okay.
We use that for doing the website. We use, it's called Ahrefs for SEO. That is an amazing tool. You can see your competition and how they're doing and what they're doing. It's pretty pricey.
What's it called? AH or AA? My line's cleared up.
R-E-F-S. It's great. It's a great tool. It shows you keywords, all kinds of stuff to remain competitive. And then Moz and SEMrush are kind of light versions of that for SEO. And then you have your schedulers for social media. Actually, Facebook has it built right in there. So on your page, you can schedule your posts right on there and see the analytics of the post. Instagram is also getting really good with seeing the analytics of your posts, as long as you are listed as a company or an influencer on there.
Right.
Wow. They're getting pretty advanced with showing you those things. But then it takes the time to actually look through and figure out, okay, so if they're telling me this, what do I need to do to improve?
I can see why it takes so many hours to figure all this out.
Yeah, it's a lot, but definitely worth it.
It sounds like it. It really sounds like it. We have years and years of programming in our stuff that sounds like we should just, like, start over and do it differently. It's so much easier. It's easier on one hand, and then harder because there's so many people out there now, you know. There's a lot more competition, and wow, I love it.
Well, that, I would say, you know, rather than starting over, and somebody in your situation, rather than starting over, maybe just start simple with one platform and kind of dip your toes in the water with that, and then you can keep improving and you know, adding in one more platform and then another one, rather than just, you know, doing everything at once.
Right, right. That makes sense. Exciting. So then you work, they have, people have landing pages seem to work really well nowadays, right, for marketing and everything. What's your feeling as far, you're such an expert at what you do, you're a true expert, and with copywriting, many times they're saying, and I could be incorrect, but with landing pages and with copywriting, that it's the long, long, long ads really seem to work. But everybody does scroll down and just kind of looks at the bottom and sees what the price is, or how do I order? You know, many people aren't reading it all, but it's a technique that a lot of marketers say still works these days. What do you think about that? Should it be short,
yeah,
or should it still be long, but with all the links in there and then most scroll to the bottom?
I'm of the school to be concise. When we do landing pages, we always make them concise. We code them ourselves, not me personally, obviously. Codes them themselves so that they're personalized, because with those long landing pages, they're usually made from a platform like Lead Pages or something like that, where a lot of them look uniform. You described it perfectly. They look like that because it was made with a platform like Lead Pages, where they're all just uniform, they all look the same. So everybody is programmed to just scroll down. But when you make your own landing page from scratch, you code it, and you make it concise, it's going to grab people's attention more because they're not going to be overwhelmed. Overwhelmed people are not people that are going to buy. So I'm definitely of the school to have something original, to have it short, to have it concise. All of our landing pages are very graphic-driven. There are a lot of images, there are a few bold print words, and there's a very strong call to action, and that's it.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah. There's
that
a quote. I think it was Mark Twain who said, "I wanted to write you a shorter letter, but I didn't have the time." And it's all about concise. You know, it's easy to write something long, but to write something short that grabs people's attention, that's the difficult part.
Right.
But when you
Yeah. And that's where you come in, too, because what you say makes a difference, and you know how to say it and make it get to the point, but keep it simple.
Absolutely.
Simple. Well, nowadays, I mean, they say the attention span is like 7 seconds.
Oh, yeah. It's
that's what I'm hearing. It's really short.
Yeah.
It's so short compared to what we used to be, you know, so many minutes on the website, you know, and then it got down and down and down. They always talk about the sound bites and doing the shorter ones. And you look at the books, you know, the little books you'd find in the grocery store that are really short, you know, the little pamphlets. They're not pamphlets, but they're like little mini books.
Yeah.
It seems that people are really doing that and then reading on the Kindles and wow. But you're used to that because you kind of grew up with that, right? You're used to...
I did, and yeah, I am, you know, I grew up in the 2000s, so I grew up kind of during that transitional period where, yeah, we had the internet, but I had to wait for my mom to finish her phone call before I could play on Nickelodeon's website, so, you know, it was a very different time. Things have changed very, very rapidly.
They really have. We're so much more global, and that's easier, too. The one thing, I would love to ask you this question because what you do and everything. You know how we have so much going on out there about fake news, real news, et cetera, et cetera? And I'm surprised because how many different sites are popping up and then news coming through, because I'll see things on my phone, on my cell phone a lot, which I'm sure many people do, instead of watching it on the cable TV or... and then, I, of course, look up things on internet if I have to check news out. But you'll get headlines and different things popping in, and it's not just a satire site. It's not they truly look like they're real. And then I've looked down further and says, well, this is fictional, you know? And what's happening, though? Because if I didn't look in and read it, I just looked at the headline, got busy, did something else, read some of the taglines, I may really think it's real. It's just that's how all over the place it is.
It's that Wild West mentality. I mean, it's kind of what you were talking about before, that Wild West mentality. And there's no checks and balances system on the internet. When you read a newspaper or a magazine, there is your writer, there is your editor, there are people who have to fact check it. But when you're on the internet, there's none of that. People can post wherever they want, and they can make really realistic looking websites, and people will trust the authority because they're used to just being able to trust magazines and newspapers that have fact checkers. So they assume, oh, it's the same thing here, not realizing, no, it's not. People can post whatever they like.
That's amazing to me, because I mentioned that to somebody the other day, and they were like, oh, Natalie, come on. These satire sites, she said she had seen something on the news where they were talking about exactly this, that you know, it's becoming a problem, and that she thought it was kind of silly that people should definitely be able to tell if it's real or not real. And I mean, I know firsthand, if I didn't take the time to really look through, I wouldn't have known, you know. So it's kind of scary, because with all the social media and what's happening everywhere, and you're seeing people having rants and rages, and which I'm totally against. I think we should all learn to disagree or agree to disagree, and you know, not the rants and raves, and everybody has a right to their own opinion. But with all of that going on, I've been on the internet since it started, I'm not sure how long that can continue, where people can just post. Of course, on a website they could post what they want, but when these companies are putting it out as journalism and news stories, and they're actually, I mean, I'm just surprised that that's going to be allowed forever. To continue.
It seems like they're making some strides trying to prevent that. Like Facebook is putting a few things in, they're getting more likely to ban certain things or to delete certain comments that are harmful. But yeah, it is. It's that Wild West kind of thing.
So they're probably, I guess, because every new, you know, things come in because of problems and other issues. So it'll probably, I guess, it'll all go through. You know, we're all going to be just like, well, let's just chill out and not worry about any of it right now. I don't know. It's very, it's just very different. So we've got about 15 minutes left. I'm just going to turn it over to you, what you'd like to talk about, say, what do you think you'd want to put out there for, I'd say, the layperson, because so many people are not experts in what you're doing.
Yeah. There are a few things that a lot of people don't realize. So we do 360 marketing, and a lot of people, you know, it's a buzzword. But what it really means is making sure that you have all your ducks in a row and that you are visible on a variety of platforms. So the different parts of that are having your organic social media, meaning that you're posting on the different platforms regularly. And one thing to note about that is a lot of people think, oh, well, I need to be on all social media platforms. I need to be on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Pinterest and Instagram and Tumblr and all these other things. But that's really not true. I mean, it's good for your visibility, but if your content isn't going to be right and if your target demographic isn't on those sites, there's really no purpose. So usually we would pick about three social media platforms to really focus on and to make them really high quality. Usually they're based on your target audience. So that's one kind of thing of advice. Don't feel like you have to be everywhere at once. You know, TikTok is for teenagers mostly. So if your target demographic is, you know, adults, probably shouldn't be on TikTok, but maybe if you're
talking about... I didn't even know TikTok. Yes.
Yeah,
makes sense.
They do, like, videos. It's kind of the way Vine used to be. It's, like, short videos. So basically it's about picking the right social media platforms for you, and then the next part of it is your paid social media. So if you have a Facebook page and you're posting organically, that's great. But if you want to get the most reach, you should be doing ads as well. And then the people who you target through those ads, they'll be able to see your organic posts. So you want to have a nice balance between both paid ads and organic posts. And then you also want to be able to collect the leads that you get from these social media platforms. You want to be collecting their emails. So you want to have a nice system in place where you can email your audience regularly. So that's where the funnel comes in, which I hate the term funnel, but there's really no better way to put it.
It is a good way to look at it, right? Right.
Yeah, basically collecting their email, your messages. Usually you collect your email through a landing page that they find on social media. You're emailing them regularly, keeping them up to date with the happenings in your company. And then the fourth component of the 360 marketing is your SEO. So you're posting regularly on your blog, which entices both new clients and engages current clients, because you can also put the links to those blogs on your social media and allow people to see your blogs and to be notified when a new blog comes out just by looking on Facebook, Twitter, or wherever they happen to be that day. My main thing that I want to point out is that, you know, there are a lot of different facets to this, and, you know, having multiple options and multiple things that you're working on definitely help, but you don't need to be everywhere at once.
Yeah, it's really – we've had a problem because we've had our own servers, well, through the big companies since 1999. And then we're also doing leasing the servers. We're also in the cloud for parts of things. I think we have more going than we may need, but we're starting to have trouble with emails. It's been the last year, and managing our own emails through our IT guys, we're getting such amount of spam. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So we're looking at going to a Google platform, another email platform, just to be able to manage it, because it used to be you could set your spam filters or do different things, but now just unbelievable amounts are getting in. And then they'll put you on sites like they're blackballing you, like you're doing something wrong when you're not doing anything wrong, just because the spammers are getting through. If that makes sense. You know, the old forms, when you put your email addresses on sites, I mean, it's just like the wild, wild west has gotten larger. Anyhow, you know, so you can tell I'm you can hear me after all the years of being in. I'm going, oh my, I feel like I'm walking through quicksand. Like, help, help. I want
to
make it easier.
The way to combat spam, though, is there's an app that's called Unroll Me, and it's a great way to, if you are subscribed to any newsletters or receiving the same spam from, you know, or receiving spam from the same place often, you can basically just check a little box on Unroll Me and not hear from them again.
Oh, it's called Unroll Me, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
The spam is like really, the spam is literally like it's coming in from all kinds of crazy places. It's nothing that it's just, and we've talked to our IT guys and they said it's because we still have some old forms on the sites that we're clearing out. The CAPTCHAs, you know how you have to show that you're not a human. I mean, that you are human. Not that you're not a human, that you are human. You know, when now you have the pictures, we still have some of the old ones. We're typing the numbers. I mean, we're finding out part of the problem, but it's still not working as well as we'd want it to. It's just, I guess with a Realty Universal, it sounds like it may be something that's not, you know. But so it's been interesting to work through it and go, sometimes I say, oh, my gosh, this wasn't happening like this until the last year. And it makes you wonder. You know, it kind of forces you to go to the big guys, right, or let other people manage your email. It's just a different, So that doesn't really have to do with our today's show, but I just wanted to throw that in because I thought there's got to be, you know, there's just a lot going on. Because then you have people not getting your emails or it's getting blocked, and you're not doing anything wrong. You know, it's just an interesting issue to do a workaround on.
That's why I have a few emails, because I had a similar issue where I hired somebody to do emails, and they wound up sending too many emails at once. So we had my email was shut down for a day, and I thought, I can't just be reliant on this email. What if something happens? So now I have like five different emails, and it's unfortunate that you have to do something like that, though.
Well, we have realtyuniversal.com, and then there's staff emails and agent emails and my email, and you can see 1,000 emails come in a day, and it looks like it's Chinese, Japanese, all kinds of, like, Viagra. I mean, all this stuff that is just, it's just clearly all spam. And in the old days, you just set your filters, and then it was okay. Or we'll have a client say, I didn't get your email. and then it's in their junk box, but sometimes they're not getting it at all. And so it's a tough, I mean, you have to, I guess it's all part of, it's just, so that's where it looks like, okay, maybe we'll let Google take over. Maybe we'll let these big guys take over. You know, you just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's all good. It's all good. We want to be positive. It's just that we certainly don't want people thinking we're spamming when we're not spamming, you know. And then you have clients. You want them to get your forms and information. We started a while ago because many forms used to end up in the junk box. We started having two emails. So one email gives everybody all the information in the forms, and then a second email to say we just sent you this information with attached forms, but many forms can end up in the spam junk box, you know. So you're seeing more and more people even getting away from email, not wanting to have to check their email regularly. It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think is going to be the next?
Reading the 4-Hour Work Week with Tim Ferriss, where he said, just check your email once a day. And I was thinking, how is that even possible? What? But yeah, people are doing that.
I read that before. I still have it. But, you know, I don't check mine more than once a day, but my staff does. So I always have to tell people, make sure you send it through the office instead of just me. But then so that's kind of what's happening. So they check 24/7, but I'm not. I don't want to. I can't do it. I hate it. It gets to the point where you're just like, this is ridiculous. But it's not good when you're missing something because it's not coming through, and that's happened. So it is what it is. Kind of this is great. You really, yeah, we're going to work with you for sure, and I'd like to get you out there to our agents and brokers. I know you have a lot going on. What do you think is going to be the next, what's going to happen? I mean, do you think we're going to continue this path we're on, or there's going to be some simpler way to wrap
yeah,
it up, or maybe go back to the old ways a little bit? I don't know.
No, there are two things, and the one might sound really out there, but it's MR, mixed reality, so virtual reality and augmented reality. So, you know, the Oculus, everybody walk around with the headsets on. Hopefully we'll get away from those big clunky headsets, but the mixing of virtual reality and augmented reality so that your computer isn't a physical thing that you're carrying, but, you know, you have like one of those see-through screens and that's what you're typing on. I do think that that's the future, and I think that there's going to be a lot of opportunity for connecting with people that way. I have an Oculus, and it's insane. I can talk to somebody on the other side of the world, and I'm looking at their picture through this little screen, and we're speaking at a table, and it feels very real. So imagine that times 20 once mixed reality becomes mainstream, and, you know, it's augmented rather than virtual. It's going to be insane.
That's amazing. So what's going to happen, though, is it when it's mixed reality? I mean, because I've heard of the virtual reality, and I've seen the things that the people are doing, but not understanding what they're doing. Is that going to be mainly for games, or
no, that's the
or
thing.
What?
When I say a lot of people think it's games, but there are a lot of other things that you can use it for. So I actually spoke with somebody, and we had, like, a business meeting through those goggles. So we're talking at a virtual table going through this stuff, and you can share your computer screen. So looking at my computer, it feels very real because we're sitting at a table together. We're able to use our hands. So I think that things like that are the future. And there are also other applications rather than just gaming.
Wait a minute. Oh, God, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm going to cut you off. But okay, so you have this apparatus on your head, right?
Yeah.
And you're having a meeting with someone else, so it's not like a Zoom meeting where you're looking at your computer. You're actually putting this over your head, and is that what it?
Yes, exactly. And you can see the other people there, or however they present themselves, their avatars. But since you're connected through Facebook, you can see an actual picture of them, but then you can also see their avatar, which usually people make to look like themselves. And you are speaking, and it feels very real because you're talking to moving.
Oh my gosh. So it feels like you're sitting, like, with them right across the chair from you, another chair?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. I'm like a virtual queen because we started doing virtual back in the 90s, and I just always – but isn't that going to be – would it get to your – oh, that's amazing. I'm wondering if that's going to be odd, but not odd.
Well,
so I see you – that's what you think. It makes sense, huh?
Oh, I've done it. That's what I'm saying. Like, I have done this. They also have where you can travel. So take a trip to Paris and hang out there. And it
what?
Feels very, very real. Yeah, it feels very real. And I think that, you know, once they start putting ads and all kinds of things in there, everybody's going to have virtual applications. So I really do believe
I love
this is
it.
A, yeah.
Where did you, there's a company, I can't think of the name of it. I think EXP bought the company out, and it's virtual. They do the avatars on online with real estate, so you have conference rooms and everything. You can walk through the room, and but they do it through the computer. It's not on their head. I can't think of the name of the company that does it, and they bought them out recently. Well, how do you find this thing where you can put it on your head and have a meeting?
So
I'm not, you know,
is,
for you being such a wordsmith, I apologize for calling things and speaking. I have to apologize.
It's actually created by Facebook. So last year they had the Oculus Go. I purchased one of those for me, one of those for my father. My father, it's really funny. He goes on there, he plays poker with his buddies. He's sitting at a table, and they're just playing poker as if they were in, you know, their living room.
Right.
Or in, no, it's amazing. They're,
but
they're
it's,
taking
his, it's his friends. His friends have one too.
Oh yeah, you can. So you can play with your real friends. So you can play with, since it's made by Facebook, you can play with your Facebook friends. You can play with just other people. I've played with my father and I have shot zombies together. We've done all
what?
Kinds of stuff like.
How do you? You're
yeah.
kidding me. So how does it? How does it? I have to have more fun. I'm not having enough fun. That's for, how do you spell this? It starts with an A. I think there's noise in the background here. I'm, you know.
Oculus,
O-C-U-L-U-S. O-C-U-L-U-S. Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
So they have a new one. Rather than just the Oculus Go, it's called the Oculus Quest, and it's even more immersive because it's 360. So if you move your head one way, your whole it's I like it better than the Go. It's much more immersive. You can use
You've got to be
good.
So one person, so if you want to play with another person, like if I was going to have a meeting with you, we both have to have one, right? But
yeah.
if you just, you have to, oh, my goodness. So people actually,
yeah.
I mean, we could actually have these business meetings that we can have on Zoom now, or we do them virtually on the phone or whatever, and everybody's sitting
mm-hmm.
around, and people get their own coffee, and they do whatever, and everything is with this thing on your head. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that's the future. I think eventually it's going to not be such a big thing on your head, but, you know, they're working on that. Because now what they have is they have cameras attached to the front of them, so you can see the world around you. When you know, and you can see what's actually in the virtual world. So I think once they merge the two, it's going to be great.
Can they? You said you could take a trip to Paris, so you can. Can you do that now?
Yeah, yeah. They have
through Oculus.
Yeah. So yeah, there's an app. It's called Wander, and you can go. Really, it was actually funny. I looked at my childhood home. You can say any address, and you can be quote unquote teleported there. So I said my childhood address. I got to see
oh my God,
I love it.
So you could wander actually lets you, you mean you're like you're walking down the street because it makes you feel like you're moving, right? It's not because it's virtual. It's like a 3D kind of, oh, how wild
exactly.
is that?
Yeah.
My son was talking about there's a company. Yeah, one of the companies
yeah,
is working on, I know they're working on, what was it, robots where they have the AIs where they could actually put something in somebody's brain or in their head and, like, a pilot can fly the plane that way. But it's put into a human. Not
yeah.
yet. They're practicing. I mean, they're testing this. And then they could actually fly the plane or drive a car, you know, with your mind or with your eyes. It's just some, I'm not sure how they're going to do it. Isn't
yeah.
that wild?
That is so cool.
Wow. It's so cool. That is. I love. Well, we are here at the end. I hate to, because we're getting ready to, we go through the recordings. This has been fantastic. This is. I learned a lot today with you.
I really appreciate you having me on. It's been a really fun time. Anytime I could talk about this stuff, I'm thrilled. So.
I just love it. I just love it, and it's this yeah, and you know it like the back of your hand. Wow. So what? That's going to be. So what would somebody? Well. It's amazing, just amazing to me. I'm at a loss for words. I'm going to look up this wander. I love the travel. But you're still, and you're seeing the real thing kind of, right, in a way. But,
yeah, so they have different experiences. You could either see it in real time or you can do it. Like I took a trip through the Anne Frank house where they have excerpts from her book and they had a recording artist talk. So there are all kinds of different things like that.
Wow, I love it. I love it. That's fantastic. Well, we have to do this again. And I look forward to working with you. And, yeah, maybe we'll have to do one of those one of those Oculus meetings. And then in the middle of it, well, why don't we have an Oculus meeting over in Paris and have coffee?
That sounds great. I would love it.
That'd be cool.